Listen to part of a lecture in a music class.
Let's think about the traditional way of arranging music. You use a scale, right? And you build the composition or song around that scale. The traditional scales are the major and minor scales. The major scale is C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. I'm sure all of you know it well. The minor scale, again I am sure you all know, is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. But I should point out, these only use the white keys on the piano. What if we played all the keys and don't skip any? These are C, C sharp, D, D sharp, E, F, F sharp, G, G sharp, A, A sharp, B, C. Sounds strange, doesn't it? This is called the chromatic scale, and it includes all the notes that you can play on traditional European instruments. So, the major and minor scales include the 8 notes everyone is familiar with. But the chromatic scale includes everything, a total of 12 notes. And strange as it sounds, this is what composers of the early 20th century were using to write new kinds of compositions. Okay, well, you might say, hey, that's easy. Anybody can write a song like that. But it's not just a matter of putting together any notes that you want. In order to write compositions using the chromatic scale, composers worked with pretty strict rules. There was a lot more to it than just hitting all the keys. Who made up the rules? A group of composers led by Arnold Schoenberg created the method that composers interested in this kind of writing used when they were working with the chromatic scale. As I mentioned, the method had strict rules. The most important rule was that you could not play any note twice until all the other notes had been played once. To the composers, this meant that the music was truly free of all of the old rules for composition. So, listeners had to hear all 12 notes once before they could hear any one of the notes repeated. This new kind of music got a special name. It was called atonal, or 12-tone music, and traditional music was then called tonal music. So now, let's look at how they did it. Let's look at how to make a 12-tone composition. First, we take all 12 notes and arrange them in a particular order. Remember, each note is only used once, so writing 12 different notes one time each, we have what is called a tone row. I see some confused looks. Okay, let's keep this really simple to start with. We know there are 12 tones in the chromatic scale, so let's number them tone 1 through tone 12. So, one very simple tone row might be just our 12 notes in order, from 1 through 12. So, now we have a basic tone row for our composition. This will be called the prime row for our composition. But to make the composition interesting, we need to add some variation. To get this variation, the atonal composers modified the prime row of their piece, in particular ways called transformations. The simplest transformation is called the retrograde tone row. As you might guess from the word retrograde, this transformation is just the prime row backwards. That is, in our example, from 12 to 1. So, now we have two kinds of tone rows, the original or prime tone row, and the retrograde tone row. There is also another, more advanced transformation called the inverse row. The inverse is a bit complicated and involves changing the relationships between the notes in a particular way. You take a particular note in your prime row and shift 12 notes backward. You do that for every note in the prime row. It is sometimes called the upside-down row. In our example, it's hard to see how an inverse row changes things, because for us, the retrograde row and the inverse row look the same. But say you start your prime row with tone 3 and end with tone 2. So it goes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Our retrograde row is then 2, 1, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. But our inverse row, by doing a little math and saying that each node is equal to 12 minus x, our inverse row becomes 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 12, 11, 10. You can see all three tone rows are different now. So, now we have three rows, the original or prime row, the retrograde, and the inverse. Well, what do you think they did next? They took the inverse of the retrograde row and made the inverse retrograde row. So, that's three transformations, retrograde, or backwards, inverse, or upside down, and the retrograde inverse, or upside down and backwards. So, a composer could then start putting together a piece with these kinds of transformations. He or she can combine these in any order. If I'm composing an atonal piece, I can play two prime rows, then an inverse retrograde row, then an inverse row. So, now we have an interesting composition.
Number 13. What aspect of 12-tone composition does the professor mainly discuss? Number 14. In the lecture, the professor describes several processes of transformation. Indicate whether each of the following is a transformation mentioned in the lecture. Click the correct box for each phrase. Number 15. Why does the professor mention the traditional scales in music? Number 16. According to the lecture, how many times can the same note be played in a prime row? Number 17. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
Okay, well, you might say, hey, that's easy. Anybody can write a song like that. But it's not just a matter of putting together any notes that you want. In order to write compositions using the chromatic scale, composers worked with pretty strict rules.
What does the professor imply about atonal composition? Number 18. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
Our retrograde row is then 2, 1, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. But our inverse row, by doing a little math and saying that each node is equal to 12 minus x, our inverse row becomes 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 12, 11, 10.
What does the professor mean when she says this?
Each node is equal to 12 minus x,